I think the people, the quarterbacks on the team, you know, the GPs, they often have to work really hard, and people don't really understand how much risk, time, due diligence it takes to put a deal together. And what they try to do is give their investors a good return.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to introduce our absolutely amazing guest for the day, Bobby Sharma. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You bet, Sujata. It's a pleasure. I've gotten to know you through the social media and just following you a little bit. It's an honor, pleasure to be on your show as well.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to get into your story. And I mean, you just have like such an amazing, diverse career in real estate. So going to be a lot of value to share. So why don't you start us off with a little bit about your background. I mean, everyone, just so you know, Bobby has immigrated to the United States in 1984. He's lived in many different countries. And yeah, he has a long history kind of making his way in real estate, and excited to hear all about it. So why don't you start us off with sharing a bit about your background and why you got into real estate?
So purely got into real estate. So my background, you know, so I came as a student. I was born in India, was fortunate enough to grow up in East Africa, surrounded by just some amazing friends and, you know, just a huge international community in East Africa and Tanzania. But then, you know, always wanted to be here. So I applied to a computer science program at a university here, got accepted. And so I came here in 1984 to study undergrad computer science. And then luckily the economy was really good. So I was in Los Angeles on a vacation and I loved it. I was actually in Alabama where I went to college. So LA was a little different and I fell in love with the weather and the people. And like I said, the economy was really good. So I got three companies that were willing to sponsor me for my green card. Anyway, so I picked one and small company. And one of the things that the attorney, my immigration attorney, told me was, listen, you know, behave yourself. Don't get in trouble with the employer. You know, stay with the company until you get your green card, you know, and
yeah,
and just be a good employee, you know. And so I'm like, sure. You know, it was a little different times than the H-1Bs nowadays. Back then, it was really difficult to get sponsorship, you know, and this is 1988, 89. So yeah, I knew I was going to be in that city for a long time. So purely by accident, I was driving and I saw an open house.
In what city was that?
This is Riverside, California.
Okay.
It's in the, Riverside County, just sort of adjacent to Orange County.
Near LA.
Near LA, yeah. So yeah, I was driving around and saw an open house sign. So I walked in and I asked the agent, I said, hey, listen, is it possible for me to, I'm not a resident, can I buy a house? And she's like, yeah, you can, you know, as long as you can prove that you can, you have a W-2, you can buy a house. So anyway, long story short, I house hacked. I was 24, 4360 Monroe Street in Riverside, California. I,
And what year was this now?
This is 1989.
Okay. So 5 years after you came here, and did you rent out rooms? How did you house hack?
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah. So it was like I had seen somebody else do it, to be honest with you. Actually, where I was renting, that guy had done it. So I knew it was doable. So I was renting a room in somebody's house. The only problem, I would have stayed there, except he kept adding more people into the house, and he was like renting out the living space and all that. So that's actually what caused me to go look elsewhere. But so I kept mine super clean, a three bedroom, two bath house. I only had two roommates. I stayed in the master bedroom, and then I had two roommates. One was a plumber. The other one was a nurse. And we got along great. We were great friends. And the rent I collected from the two rooms covered most of my PITI, so principal interest tax insurance. Not all of it, but maybe 85 to 90% of it.
Sure.
So as a 20-something, you know, I was living large in LA, you know, living almost rent-free.
Yeah.
So that was a big achievement. And that was my only modest goal. My modest goal was, hey, how can I reduce my cost of living? So that's how I got started. And then later on, I moved up to Northern California. We bought a house. It did well. Went through a divorce. Lost everything. That's another session we'll do. But then in 2010, Sujata, I noticed that the market was just going, you know, it had collapsed, you know. So I'd saved up a little bit of money. And that's when I got back into it a little bit more actively.
Okay. So in 2010, I mean, I know you have a lot of experience like starting real estate related companies in like the property tech space. And that actually 2010 was probably kind of on the leading edge of that, some of that. So was that what you did next?
I did experiment with a prop tech startup back then. It was the predecessor to, or similar to, Trulia.
Okay.
We were crawling all kinds of websites to collect the data, organize the data in one place.
For
home rentals, yeah.
Okay.
And but anyway, that unfortunately did not get funded. We had bootstrapped it. It was four of us, and that didn't go anywhere. But I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about technology. So my latest startup is a little bit different. I have two prop tech startups, but they kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them deals with your Siddhartha, like you have a multiple real estate assets. So in my case, for example, and I think I'm pretty typical of most active real estate investors. So I've got properties in Northern California, Central California, Kansas City, Ohio, Indianapolis, and now Florida. Well, each property manager is on a different platform. You know, somebody uses AppFolio, somebody uses Yardi, somebody uses, Cozy.
Yeah.
Somebody's on PropertyWare. So my new startup, what we do is we aggregate. So as a real estate investor like you and I, you can log into one place and see all your real estate assets, whether you're a private money lender, you're an LP in a syndication, whether you're you invest in.
And what kinds of data points are you able to see on this? I guess it would be like a dashboard or something.
Yeah, you can see, so we aggregate data from what's called an owner statement,
mm-hmm.
or a distribution. Most LPs get a distribution once a quarter, let's say. But the most complex one is the owner statement that comes from either AppFolio, Rent Manager, PropertyWare, Tenant Cloud, whatever. So what happens is we're able to grab that data, parse it, and then pull out the data we need, which is, remember that property manager doesn't have all of your information. They only have the expenses, the income. So they know how much they collected, and then they took out their fees, and then they had some maintenance issues and so on and so forth. But the mortgage information, the insurance and taxes sometimes are paid by the property manager, sometimes they're paid by the owner. So what we do is we collect and organize all that data so you have a 360 view of your properties in one place. And so we get it from the bank. So we can collect that data from the bank. So we are fully integrated and securely integrated using something called Plaid. You may have heard of it. So we use Plaid to integrate with your bank, and we can pull the data. Of course, it's permissions-based from the bank about your mortgage, your taxes, your insurance. If you had a one-time expense, you can track it all in our system. The idea is that, you know, somebody like you that may own multiple assets or multiple asset types in different geographical locations, you can still track it all in one place. So that's my latest venture. Yeah.
Interesting. So then, do I have to submit something to you, or do you collect it somehow?
So two ways of doing it. But great questions, by the way. Yeah. So you can either do it all on your own. You can say, listen, I got 8 properties. One, you know, 3 are in Oregon, 2 are in Nevada, you know, 4 are in, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas. And they're, you know, all different property management softwares that my property managers are using. So whatever information is needed, and I'm happy to give you a demo one day, but we are able to either, we want to reduce data entry, right? Double data entry. So you can submit what's called the owner statement. If it's an AppFolio property, with Property Manager, we're fully integrated. You don't need to do anything because they're the only ones, along with AppFolio, that have good APIs. So with Rent Manager, we signed up to be a partner. We can read their data, no problem. With AppFolio, we're working on becoming a partner. It's a little bit more complex problem to solve, but we're getting there. But until then, you can just take the PDF, bring it into our, import it into our system. We read it, and you can see all the data on your dashboard. So, you know, and again, Sujata, one day I'm happy to give you a, you know, deep dive.
Yeah. No. I mean, I just kind of wanted to generally know what it works. And how did you decide to make this prop tech company? Yeah.
So it was because, you know, I run a meetup in San Francisco, luckily.
Yeah, you run a pretty large meetup, right? Doesn't it have like over 5,000 members?
Yeah. So I was, you know, in 2010, I was living in just north of Oakland, and I had to drive to San Francisco or to San Jose to go to the meetups.
Yeah.
And I was working, and I would then drive an hour and a half in the traffic to go to the meetup and then come back at 11 o'clock at night. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe some of the people that live in the East Bay could benefit from a meetup on the East Bay. So I started one, and luckily it grew, and it's now the largest meetup in the San Francisco Bay Area. And pre-COVID, we were meeting 4 times a month. We were getting anywhere from 80 to 90 people to show up at each event. And then, of course, the COVID hit. So we went online. So now we meet twice a month, but we meet online. And then my plan is to, once post-COVID, hopefully when people get used to meeting in person, we'll go back to having a big event, maybe every quarter in the San Francisco Bay Area. But you know, Sujata, yeah, I was fortunate enough to have started that meetup. And that's where I met a lot of my connections in real estate. A lot of my friends there. So
yeah, for sure. Well, very cool. So what has, like, you know, I know you started out with that awesome house hack, which is definitely something that I started out with as well, as one of my first things that really helped me, you know, build towards financial independence. What else have you been doing on the investing side as in real estate?
So I'm a big believer, just like you, in multifamily and syndications. I think they're very good for LPs, whether you're an LP or a GP. I think it's a really amazing how you can structure the deals to benefit both. It doesn't have to be a win-lose. It's a win-win for everybody. So yeah, I've done, you know, fortunately, interestingly, it happened because of my meetup 5.5 years, maybe now it's 6 years ago. Somebody came to speak about mobile home parks. And I'm like, yeah, wow, wait a minute, mobile home parks. I've never considered investing in mobile home parks. Well, he was doing a syndication in mobile home parks, and I got to know him. I was hosting him. So I invested with him as an LP and just got hooked. You know, they were a small syndication. They owned 11 mobile home parks. And one day I was having lunch with one of the GPs, and they were struggling with, you know, some of their asset management tasks. So I asked him, I said, I'll volunteer. You don't need to pay me. I'm an investor in your company. You don't need to pay me anything, but you can offload some of those tasks to me. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. So they connected me with their property manager. So for about a year, I was an asset manager for 4 really nasty mobile home parks in the Midwest. But it was fun. And they were nasty. The one in Wyoming was pretty nice. There was one that was nasty because, talk about a rough clientele, you know, just lot of, and we had to turn it around. Our job was to turn it around, you know, get. So we actually hired a property manager who was an ex-Marine, and he came in and we said, look, you don't need to pay any rent. Gotta take care of this park. And he was an ex-Marine. So he's like, hey, I'll turn this thing around. And so he did. But we had all the typical problems of a mobile home park. We had a lot of late payments. We had a few drug dealers in there. We had a really nice lady who decided to get a pit bull as a pet. And we have a policy against dangerous animals on the property. So we had to evict her. And she always paid her rent on time and all that. So it was kind of sad to see her go. But I had to deal with that whole eviction process with her. So yeah. Septic tanks. I learned a lot about septic tanks, more than I ever wanted to.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's being an asset manager is a great education. So that's really cool that you got that experience. And, you mentioned that you're a big believer in syndications. What is it about syndications that makes you a big believer?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-C-A-P.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
See, look, you know, I think the people, the quarterbacks on the team, you know, the GPs, they often have to work really hard, and people don't really understand how much risk, time, due diligence it takes to put a deal together. And what they try to do is give their investors a good return. So for example, in my case, in the mobile home parks, my returns were fabulous. You know, even though it was not a very sexy asset, but the returns were amazing once we turned the asset around, okay? So for LPs, it's an amazing way to earn income passively while there's a team that's dedicated to the syndications or the property success. There's usually a very skilled and a dedicated team that's working with property management, with contractors and the city and all rent collection and everything. So to me, it's a win-win. Of course, they get paid for that, which they deserve, as long as it's fair. But the way usually they're constructed, it's a win-win for everybody. If the property does well, the GPs do well, and the investors do well. Out of all my syndications, I've only had one that went south, but I've done a whole bunch of them. There was only just one that didn't work out, unfortunately. Yeah.
And I mean, you know, sometimes we learn the most from those ones that don't work out. What did you learn from that one?
You know, what I learned was that this syndicator is kind of a local Bay Area. Well, now maybe a little bit nationwide, sort of a local real estate celebrity. And I realized that he was just interested in raising capital, and he really didn't care about the actual operations or the due diligence. As long as he collected his fees, he's pretty well known in the Bay Area. So I fell for that. I'm like, you know, he's not going to, you know, risk investors' capital. So there was a little bit of misleading stuff that happened. But basically, he bit off more than he could chew. And when things went south, he kind of just said, hey, I'm out of here. He didn't respond. So just a bad actor. Since then, I've mostly invested with people that are just good operators. They're not big on any kind of a circuit or social media or anything, but they're just good operators. Mm-hmm. And that a little bit of that came because of the meetup. And look, you know, you have an amazing network, Sujata. Like, you have the the skills and now the knowledge to understand, you know, which operators are good, which ones are, which deals are good, which deals are not so good. So, you know, and anyway, but it comes with, you learn that over time. It's something you have to go through multiple deals to figure out which ones are going to make sense, which ones are not. So, but you're doing an amazing job of like analyzing and doing your due diligence on your deals. So we have a similar, you know, 27-point protocol or due diligence kind of a process that we go through. So because of that, I've been able to raise money as a GP and I've invested as an LP multiple deals.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I mean, you know, it's important with even as you gain more experience in this field to just always kind of proceed with caution, you know, because it's easy to sort of get caught up in the excitement. And, you know, even experienced investors have, you know, lost money by getting caught up in the excitement, you know, and getting sucked in with exciting returns. And frankly, something that, because I mean, sometimes it seems like, you know, people do have deals that turn out so good that you think, well, I should be able to invest in a deal that turns out like almost too good to be true. But you always have to proceed with caution. And, you know, that's a tough balance to strike, right? Like, you know, I think everybody needs to be a little bit careful with what they're going for. And I think what you said about just, you know, investing with good, solid operators, not necessarily looking for the flashiest deal or the sexiest deal or getting like the best returns. I mean, yes, we are. If you're in this space, you're probably getting really healthy returns. And the key is to just be able to do that consistently, like, you know, continue to hit, I don't know what the baseball term is, like hit bases or something, right? Yeah, not, you don't necessarily need to hit a home run every time, because then there is actually more risk in one of them going south. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bobby, for sharing with us a bit about your experience and your background. You know, I'd love for you to share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you, Sujata. So, you know, I'm on social media, not very active, but I'm on it. I'm on Facebook, Bobby Sharma. I'm on LinkedIn. And then my core prop tech website is called bettercapital.us. So you can email me at bobby@bettercapital.us, but I'm available and happy to answer any questions. It took us 2.5 years to build out this platform. We bootstrapped it. And just recently, we raised a small angel round, not very big, but yeah, we've got about 250 users on the platform, and you know, Sujata, maybe one day, whenever you have a few spare minutes, I'd love to like demo it to you. But
yeah,
that's where you can find me.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you all take some time to connect with Bobby and check out his prop tech firm and go to the links in the show notes. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on the show. We will see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.